Isaiah said, quoting God, "For I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." In the first reading, Isaiah paints a beautiful picture of the new world God promises to recreate, where there will be no weeping, no child who dies, no person who doesn't live out a lifetime. Everyone will have a home and a garden and roots. There will be peace. The wolf and the lamb will live together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. But most importantly, God will be there, knowing what we need before we can even ask for it. Just a few weeks ago, if you remember, I preached on a very similar passage from Isaiah, where God encourages us to look to the future, to the new things that God is doing in the world. I ended the sermon with an encouragement for all of us to take a walk, to look for signs of spring, and to think and pray about the new things God is doing in each of us. And today is a great day for that too. In these scriptures, God encourages us not to look back, but to look forward, which is easy to do in a time of spring. Today, as the flowers are blooming and the daffodils are just opening up right outside our church, God seems to be doing new things all over the place, filling the world with promise and joy and new life. But today, as we celebrate those things at Easter, we also hear that the first Easter didn't start out that way. It wasn't so joyful at first. And just a couple days ago, we gathered here and we sat in darkness as we remembered the gruesome death of God. And some of us, as I said, were here early this morning, just like the women who came to the tomb at early dawn, bringing spices to care for the dead body of Jesus, as was the custom of their time. Those women didn't come with joy or with hope for anything new. They had been there when Jesus died, and when all his other disciples had either betrayed him, denied him, or fled and locked themselves away for fear that they would be next. But the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women, some of whose names we hear in other gospels and some of whose names we don't know, showed true devotion and true courage in their faithfulness. They remained faithful when all hope was lost, and they are an example for us all. You might remember that Jesus rose on the third day, and the reason we say this is because in the Hebrew culture, a day was any part of a day. So Jesus died on Good Friday, so that would count as day one. Then there was Saturday for day two, and then Easter was day three. So for part of the day of Easter, he was still dead. So Luke tells us that early on the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb. And this makes me remember the other place in the Bible where we hear about the first day, the very first day, when God's Spirit swept over the face of the waters and God said, "Let there be light," right? How can it be Easter when it's still dark? Because to God, wherever there is darkness, God always brings us light. Darkness isn't just a time of day that we call night. Darkness is also the absence of light. And the absence of light could be those times in our lives when we feel that God is not present. Even if we're surrounded by light, even if the world looks beautiful and we're in our Easter best, we might still feel the darkness. It's a real feeling for us, and it was real for the women at the tomb. They walked there in the darkness expecting death. But Jesus' dead body wasn't there. The tomb, like the eggs, was just empty. What had happened? Luke says they were perplexed about this, and that's probably a mild way of saying how you would feel. And suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes appeared, and they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But in their fear, the angels shared a reminder with them. They said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Easter is a time where we think about the new things that God is doing, but we're also reminded of Jesus' words, his promises, his power, and his faithfulness to all of us. Luke says the women remembered his words, and they went to tell the rest. But when they tell them, the other disciples didn't believe them. Well, guys, see what happens when you don't listen to women? You could miss out on the resurrection. So the next time a woman tells you something that you cannot believe, think about this. Think about believing her. I don't know about you, but I forget things sometimes. And last week, Pastor Paul had the audacity to imply that you all don't remember every word of every sermon that we preach. Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? It's true. We don't remember them all either. But when I became a pastor, my cousin Todd, who was also a pastor, told me how important it is to remind people of God's love and forgiveness every week in our sermons. Because we might be in church one Sunday, and the next Sunday, by the time the next Sunday comes around, we have forgotten. We need to be reminded every week about God's love for us. It's so easy to forget what Jesus tells us, especially in those times of darkness. But God is there to speak words of hope and light into our darkness. We forget that all places of death and sadness and pain will be transformed by God. When Jesus hung on the cross, the women saw injustice. They saw his suffering, his unnecessary death, and the violence of it. We look at the world and we can see those things too. But so often I forget that because of the resurrection, those things don't have the final say in this world. Easter helps us remember that. Easter is the moment where the end is recreated. Easter is the moment where the end is changed into the beginning. The resurrection does not ignore death. It needs it. It doesn't clean it up. Later on, we'll see the resurrected Jesus still bearing the scars of his death, his body full of holes the size of giant nails. The resurrection needs death, but it also moves past it and says, "This is not the end." We have our own little deaths and resurrections as we go through life. Maybe it's the lump that wasn't cancer, or it was, and now we have come through the pain of chemo to new and transformed life on the other side. Or maybe we haven't come through that, and we have to cling to this promise of the empty tomb for those that we love. We have had relationships that were mended, or maybe we've been through a divorce that made way for liberation from whatever death or sickness was contained in a broken or dead vow or relationship. Here's the thing that I have to constantly be reminding myself of in times of pain and sadness, that when death of one kind or another seems to be lurking all around, coming for me or my family or my church members or our world in 100 ways, I have to remember that death is not the end. Because of Jesus, it's just the beginning. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. So the next time you see death or emptiness or despair, remember that Jesus has been there too, but he also calls us beyond those things. The Greek word for tomb actually means place of remembrance. So the next time you stand at the grave of somebody you love, filled with sadness or memories, remember what Jesus said and did. Remember what the angels told the women at the tomb. Forget about your past sins, because God has too. God has done something new in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that because of Jesus, the end is the beginning. In darkness, there is always light, and in death, there is now life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.